If you love the Brick by Brick motivational podcast with Antonio and Tempest, you should also check out a great podcast called Next Year Now. Tom Hefner hosts the Next Year Now podcast to help uncover habits and practices to help you thrive at work and in life. He leverages his expertise in applied psychology and design to help you design a life that you love. Check it out and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. Again, that's the Next Year Now podcast with Tom Hefner.
Welcome to Walk It Out Wednesdays. Thank you guys for joining us as we are on our new platform, as we are in our new place doing our new thing. Big things are coming forward. We are excited to be here. We thank you guys for being here. And let's welcome you guys to Walk It Out Wednesdays. If you guys never ever been on a Walk It Out Wednesday yet, we was first on Facebook on the Rail Bryant A. Johnson page. Yes, it is I, the double certified people's pastor, Reverend Bryant A. Johnson. But if you wasn't on a Facebook page and you never got a chance to catch a Walk It Out Wednesday, let me tell you what's Walk It Out Wednesdays. Walk It Out Wednesdays is a personal development coaching call that you guys can receive each and every week for absolutely free. That is done by me. And I am going to tell you how I literally walked out of my poverty into my prosperity by utilizing tools, skills, knowledge, and information outside of the Bible that's still lined up with biblical scriptures. Yes, I am going to tell you how I was able to go outside the Bible, still believe in the Bible, and be in the place, location, and level in which I am today. Welcome once again to Walk It Out Wednesdays. Walk out your poverty right into your prosperity. Listen, have you ever been surrounded by a group of people? In most cases, it was probably family members. And everyone in the circle is telling you what you can't do or the success you will never have. Or better yet, have you told someone, maybe a best friend, a confidant, a close relative, have you ever told someone you're going to pursue your dream and you actually told them what the dream was and their response was, keep dreaming? The problem with that is people who've told you that are nowhere near what their dreams are. And they will never do whatever it takes to ensure that they will do whatever it takes to ensure that you don't go after yours. Miserable people breed more miserable people. Don't let miserable people sow seeds into your garden. As a matter of fact, let me show you how the hatred in which you receive still didn't stop you for being where you are today or where you're looking to be in the future. I got 5 points for you. And you tell me if this fixed the experience of hatred you receive while getting the success you deserve. Deserve. I utilize the word deserve on purpose because deserve, the word deserve is a very powerful word. And here's why. Because of the emotional expression you put behind when you hear or say the word deserve, it's something totally different and it's something much more powerful than any emotional expression you put behind any other word you hear or say. You hear somebody tell you, this is for you because you deserve it. It's way, you feel way more grateful than you do when they say, hey, this is for you because you worked hard for it or because you earned it. When you hear the word deserve, something happens to you. When they say you deserve this or you deserve to be happy, you deserve love in your life. It's way more powerful than saying you worked hard to get this love that's in your life. You worked hard to get the prosperity that you have. You worked hard. When you hear the word deserve, something comes about you. That was an artist by the name of Jaheim, and he wrote a song, and it was called I Deserve. And granted, the song was saying he deserved everything back in return that he's given to her, which was everything back. But I don't think that song would have made as much money if it said, baby, I earned the right. Because the word deserve packs a lot of power. And the reason it packs power is because it's behind the emotion, the emotional expression you put behind feeling, hearing, or saying the word deserve. Listen, point number one for my note takers. Point number one is you have a powerful vision. You have a powerful vision. Many times people come to you and they tell you what you can't do or what you're not willing to do or what you're unable to do. And that still doesn't stop you from getting what you deserve. And here's the first factor of you knowing that that didn't stop you from getting what you deserve. Because your vision always overseeded and superseded the negativity in which you heard from the people. Your burning desire, as which it would be said in the Think and Grow Rich book, your burning desire said, even though you are trying to give me something in which I don't deserve, I'm not going to allow that to stop me from pushing forward to the vision I see of what I do deserve. I'd be here on this phone call today if you was not pushing forward to receive what you deserve. Here's why. Because time, something may have came up to where you say, look, it's about that time I need to get on Walk It Out Wednesdays, and this just happened. Am I going to do this, or am I going to get on Walk It Out Wednesdays? And you put that off and say, hey, listen, I'll talk to you in about 15, 20 minutes because I know the Rev, and he's not going to take long. So I'll talk to you in about 15, 20 minutes. I'll get right back with you, but I need to go get what I deserve right quick. And I need to go get these little quick points, this little encouragement from Rev. He's going to make me laugh. And I like to hear him call himself double certified people's pastor. So I'm going to tune in and get my little jokes in, and then I'll be right back with you. But you didn't let time stop you from getting what you deserve. You didn't let people stop. You didn't let your children stop you from getting what you deserve. And you don't allow people to stop your vision of you getting what you deserve. I know you might ask, what's my vision? You know your vision, but let me tell you what a vision is. A vision is a driving sense of purpose. Again, it's a burning desire. It's going after what you're gonna get, even if you're willing to die for it. Watch this. Some people have something just as simple as going on their dream vacation in their vision. And that's not, I have no problems with that. That's not an issue, because you're going to get what's in your vision because you have that burning desire. You're going to save up your money. You're going to make your plans. You're going to do what you have to do to make sure you go on your dream vacation. You're going to do what you have to do to make sure you start your business. You're going to do what you have to do to make sure you get to that speaking engagement. You're going to do what you have to do to make sure that your kids don't live the life in which you live. You're going to do what you have to do to make sure your vision gets accomplished. That's your burning desire. Your vision, that's your driven sense of purpose. And you do everything with that purpose in mind. That's how you know you're getting your deserving success. Listen, watch this. You seek out those smarter than you. You seek out those smarter than you. Steph Curry just beat LeBron James and won the championship of the National Basketball Association. And as much money as this guy just made from winning that title, he still have a coach. Let's not miss that. The people that we idolize, the people that we look at, matter of fact, what's today? Wednesday. Episode 2 of Greenleaf come on tonight. And you're going to be watching it. You're going to be tuned in. These actors and actresses, these ball players, football season is starting. Your Patriots is Tom Brady is about to hit the field. All these people. Guess what? They all seeked out somebody that was smarter than them. It was their coach. It was their mentor. It was their teacher, if they considered their teacher their mentor, whoever it was. They went searching for more information because they knew they didn't have it all. Now, watch this. I set that up to say this. And this is something that, again, I tell y'all about me. And this is something that I dealt with. Because in order to seek out someone who's smarter than you, you have to kill your arrogance. And I may go back and talk about that again, but you have to kill your arrogance. You cannot be the smartest person in the room every time you're in a room and you're looking for somebody that's smarter than you. And actually, in actuality, I'm talking about me, guys. I'm talking about me. In actuality, you're actually not the smartest person in the room. But your cover, your protected man has to put on the front to act like the smartest person in the room because you don't want to receive the information from the smartest person in the room. So when they say something smarter than what you said, you have something else to say in response, or you're going to challenge what they said. Even you'll challenge it even to the point of you'll get upset and begin a full-fledged debate that ends up you in tears crying in front of a bunch of people because you just got slapped in the face. Yeah, I'm talking about me. You have to kill your arrogance so you can seek out those smarter than you. You can seek out the proper mentors to give you what you need to get your dreams, to get your goals to the point and to the level that satisfaction for you. You have to seek that out. And watch this. Understand, don't get so caught up, church folks. Don't get so caught up in a church so long to where you stuck that out of tradition and it's no longer serving you. Or you feel like you're obligated because you was there at the beginning, but it's no longer serving you. You have to get your coach and stick with your coach to the maximum capacity of which your coach can serve you and get to you to where you need to be. And then you may have to get another coach. You may have to get another mentor. But so don't never feel like you're obligated to stick under somebody because they're no longer serving you. And yeah, I said church folk because we got that bad. I swear. Yep. I told y'all we're going to go down. Y'all, this is me. Come on now. Y'all to know me by now. At some point in a call, we are going there. Y'all should know this by now. And church folk, we got that bad. We will sit at a place because we were there when they founded the building in 1932. This pastor stopped. Add value to us in 1976. And it is now 2019, and we still will not move because we feel obligated, and they not doing nothing for us. They not. And we sitting there telling everybody else they wrong. We mad at all the millennials because they going to go seek the knowledge to get a full understanding because it's not what pastor said, and that pastor been dead 32 years. We do the same thing to people in our lives. We begin to feel like that we are obligated to them because they may have helped us out of it, because they may have been there at a time we was down or a time we needed them. We feel like we're obligated and we're steady sitting around them and they're no longer serving us, nor serving what we're trying to pursue. And we wonder why we go home sleepy, tired, and we're feeling drained. And it's only 12:30 noon, and you just got up at 10, but you sat around this person for 2 hours, and now you feel like you're ready to go back to sleep. The service is no longer there. Okay, Tempest, I'll keep going. Number three, you're willing to tell people when something will not be a success. Now, that's a nice way of saying it. What I really got down here is you're willing to tell people when something sucks. Here's why. Because your dreams are your dreams. And my ideas may not fit your dreams. My ideas may help an idea of yours, but my ideas may not fit your dreams. And if my ideas don't fit your dreams, you have the right and the liberty and the room to say, hey, sir, that sucks. Because that doesn't work for me. That may work for you because that's your audience, that's your crowd, that's who you market to. But that's not going to work for me. Because what works for one person doesn't work for the next person. But you can't say you're fulfilling your dreams and you're allowing yourself to be a pushover. Because if you allow yourself to be a pushover, you are allowing them to make you fulfill their dreams and never do nothing for yours. Number five, and this is a little up-to-date one. Listen, use the data. Don't let the data use you. I'm sorry. Yeah, you're absolutely correct, Carol. Number four. But let's make number four number five, and I'll make number five number four. How about that? Use the data, and don't let the data use you. We're just going to introvert the numbers right quick. So that's going to be number four. Great, great prophetess in a great movie in the 90s told her cousin, make the money. Don't let the money make you. And that's pretty much what this point is saying. You have the data to understand what your audience is. You target your audience. You market your audience. You sell to your audience. Don't only sell to your audience for the likes. Sell to your audience because of the value that you can add. Many people only post pictures to count the likes that they're going to get. Many people only say inspirational things so they can see how many people are going to begin to follow them today. And they are controlled by the numbers, and they don't have the power to control the numbers. But when you begin to control the numbers, you begin to manipulate a system and walk into your dreams with less rejection. And my mentor, this is why I can say this with confidence. I sit and watch my mentor. Don't allow numbers to control how he moves, but he controls every money he jot down. I'm talking all the way to his cents. He controls every number, and the numbers don't control him. Here's what I'm saying. A lot of times, the reason we can't even get a $10,000 is because we still get excited over $900. And until 900 becomes common to you, 10,000 will never be in your receptive frame. It has to become common. You have to become it before you can get it. Another great prophetess by the name of Oprah Winfrey said, I had to become Oprah Winfrey before I was even Oprah Winfrey. And you'll never become nothing you want to be until you become what you want to be. To my Christian folks, let me tell you what it says. It says in the Bible, it says, call those things that be not as though they were. It also says in another text, it says, speak those things into existence which literally means that until you actually call forth what you want to be and become it, you will never be able to attract what you want because it hasn't become you yet. You'll never get $10,000 and you still get happy over $9,000. It's impossible. If $1,000 excite, if income tax season make you happy, you'll never be able to understand the abundance of wealth. That's income tax season every day. I'm not saying don't be grateful. You be grateful for everything because you'll never get nothing until you show gratitude for it. So you have to be grateful for everything. What I'm saying is you don't have to be over happy for anything. Because you're grateful don't mean you have to be over happy for it. Because your gratitude is going to grant you more. And once you become over happy, you say, you know what? That's my limit. That's all I can get. That's all I can get, man. I made 15 sales today. Yes! Let's celebrate. That's all you're going to do tomorrow, too, man. You're going to stop right there. You're going to want to celebrate again. Because our minds operate on self-gratification. And when we reach our limit of self-gratification, we're done. We can celebrate this. I succeeded. Done. No. Got another text for you. It says the race is not given to the one that's the fastest, nor to the one that's the strongest, but to the one who won't give up, even by celebrating the small victories. You got to push forward, and you got to keep moving forward, no matter the obstacles. No matter the situations, no matter the successes nor the failures, you keep moving forward till you reach the dream in which you deserve and can nobody determine nor tell you what's not what you deserve. You know what you deserve and you go after what you deserve. Number five, you're willing to tell people when something's great. Don't be a hater all your life. You'll never be successful by hating on the next person. If we was in one of my sales training classes, I'll tell you, you can never be a successful salesman by down-talking your competitors. It's the same thing applies here. You'll never get the success in which you deserve. Every time you look up, you're trying to encourage someone by hating on someone else. Don't you hate when a preacher start talking bad about another church, what they not doing, but then trying to tell you that they gonna do something different? Like, don't they get on your nerves? Like, this is a real call, y'all. We gonna talk. This is a real call. I took this on Facebook so I can interact with y'all. Like, we couldn't interact on Facebook like that. We gonna interact. Like, don't that just drive you crazy? This person talking bad about this other person to try to make themselves look good. Man, you'll never get the success you deserve. That's a beautiful dog, Miss Carol. Oh, look at the doggy. Look at this Carol doggy. But yeah, like, you'll never get the success you deserve by not being able to compliment someone when they've done something great. I always like to say it like this, and it goes back to gratitude. If we begin to be appreciative of what we have and appreciative of what we're currently succeeding in and appreciative of the success. Chantel, are you trying to tell me I need to put some chapstick on? My lips ashy. Hold on. Okay. Thank you, Chantel. Chantel was telling me my lips was ashy. Y'all saw that? But yeah, like we made me cover my mouth now. But yeah, we have to be appreciative and we have to show gratefulness. And when we begin to show gratefulness, the more gratefulness that we begin to show for everything, the less we'll see anything that's bothering us. if you ever want to not see what's bothering you today, is to appreciate everything that's going on that day. If you fully show gratefulness, I guarantee you, you'll see no negativity. Like arguments, like when people come to you with an argument, it won't even, you'll be like, that's your problem. Like, I understand you may be venting. I'm going to let you go get that off your chest, but I'm not even fit to feed that energy back. When you vibrate with gratitude, you ever want to drive somebody crazy, vibrate in gratitude. Especially a petty negative person. Not petty in prosperity, baby. That's different. But a petty negative person. Vibrate gratefulness, and I guarantee you, you'll irritate their day. And they're going to ask you, what's wrong? Why are you so happy? Why are you so happy? Because I'm grateful. But you just got a pink notice in the mail. Yeah, but at least I got a pink notice. Some people ain't even get the pink notice. Some people ain't got a mailbox to get a notice at all. So I'm still grateful for this pink notice. What you upset for? Your gas light on. I got a light. I got a gas light to have on. I'm grateful that I even have the transportation to even get a gas light on. Some people don't even have that. And when you show gratitude, even for the things that would be considered you supposed to complain about, your complaining will decrease. Because your gratefulness would definitely trump complaining any day. And any way to receive anything you want in this world, in this life, in this universe, is to be grateful for it. Oh, y'all thought I wasn't going to end on the Bible. No, the Bible says you be faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. See, if you just appreciate the small stuff, I'll go ahead and bless you with something big. Even when Job's kids died and his wife told him to curse God and die, he said, you foolish woman. Naked I came into this world, naked I shall return. But blessed be the name of the Lord, for the good Lord give it and the good Lord take it away. And guess what God did? Baptist folks like to say they gave him double for his trouble. Five died, but he had 10 more. He lost 10 yoke of oxen, but gained 20. Y'all, that was like $10 million and got 20 more back. Okay, I'm going to stop. But listen, we're about to open up for a Q&A session, man. I just want to hear y'all thoughts, opinions, everything. Y'all have questions, complaints, concerns, or comments. The lines are now open. They're going to unmute everyone, but don't all go at the same time. But listen, lines are open. Thank you guys for joining us. Thank you guys for tuning in for the first Zoom episode of Walk It Out Wednesday. Who do we have today? You may come by letter Christian experience, candidate for baptism or rededication. Will there be one? Let us come.
You know, you're just too funny. You know that, right? You know you're too funny. I had to say something about that. I'm coming by letter at the moment. No.
Yes, I love it. I love it.
You know, I have a question, but it's a little off track, I think, because it had to do with a different meeting you had, but I have posted it. And so I'm going to take a chance to see if I can ask it now. I was driving on one of the last meetings, and I think it was Tempest. I'm not sure who said it. So it was about not posting personal information on social media. And my question was, if anybody can address it, was what's the difference between transparency in our training and coaching and, you know, teaching, uplifting other people, and putting personal business on social media?
Oh, yeah. Great question. There's somebody else can actually add value to it, too. But that's actually a huge difference. Here's the difference between putting your personal business on social media than being transparent. Okay, I'll say it in this manner. Being transparent is you telling your testimony. Putting your personal business out there is you are throwing a pity party and you're looking for sympathy, not in the manner of encouragement. You're looking for sympathy for somebody that feels sorry for you. And being transparent and telling you that those are two different things. So if like, okay, these calls, you're going to hear me say a lot of things transparently, testimonially. But I won't just put my personal business out there in the sake of, I want y'all to feel a certain type of way about me on this call or during this post or during this moment. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You never want to make yourself weak enough to be vulnerable to where you're asking for pity from people. Like, I stopped throwing pity parties in 1999 because I used to throw them a lot. And everybody used to come to me with their pity, and I give them just what they want. I feel just as bad as they feel. And that's what you want to do. You want to make people feel as bad as you feel by putting your personal business out there. And it's not going to be received in a positive connotation, so they're going to turn it and utilize it against you. Versus you telling your testimony, I'm trying to help you grow from a story or experience that I experienced and I've overcame in my life. Make sense?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, so here's an example. Say you're angry one day. You just rip-roaring ticked off about something. But at the same time, you figure, okay, I need to vent this. I want to vent this. But maybe I can help somebody else in the process by showing them how to manage this anger, that we all have it, it's okay, and then maybe give a couple of examples at the end. This is how you come out of it and, you know, make it turn and come up. But the initial anger is your personal business, is your issue that you're ticked off about. You're not really coming on just the train. You're really mad and you just want a place to vent. Now, is that putting personal business on that shouldn't go on?
Okay, sweet. I'm glad you asked that as well. And I'm glad I got a great counselor that I actually kind of asked a question similar to this before. So I already have an awesome definition for you.
Okay.
Venting and complaining are two different things. Venting is just you're releasing it into the atmosphere. Complaining is you're releasing it with the expectation of getting something back, whether it be a result, a person to feel like you feel, or whatever the case may be. So if you are angry and you're posting something testimonial, it's testimonial. If you're posting something in anger and you're feeling like this is gonna help somebody by me just putting my business out there, you're not just venting, you're actually complaining because you're putting it out there with the expectation of a response from somebody.
Okay.
So that's like, you know, venting, I'm glad you asked that. But venting and complaining are two different things. Mm. And a lot of times we'll go to a person with a complaint and here's how we try to make it sound good. We'll be like, I'm just venting though. No, you're not. You're not venting because you're expecting me to give you a solution to what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
You're expecting me to react some kind of way with the way that you came at me with your issue.
Gotcha.
Because if you're just venting, you're just releasing the negative energy because you have to let it go because pressure busts pipes.
Okay. All right. So now my admission, my testimony, I want your feedback from one day I was really ticked off. I mean, just sick and tired of being sick and tired. So I made a post and I said to myself, well, because I don't get that animated in my posts. I don't let a lot of over emotion come through. You know, I'm more of an informational poster. So I said, well, since they said we should be animated and motivated and have some energy, I said, I got some energy today. So I'm gonna post this while I'm ready to, like you said, bust the pipe and see how I come across, sort of, as you know, just as a test to see how I post it. Then of course, after I posted it, one of my family members that called said, are you all right? You know, blah, 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 blah. So then I said, well, maybe I should take it down. So it's been bothering me since that day. Did I do the right thing in putting up that particular post or not? Which is why I'm asking the question.
You did the greatest thing ever by taking it down.
Okay.
Because you were angry. You were upset. You were in negative energy. What did you expect positive to come from the fact that you put out negative energy?
Well, I did work through the anger. By the time the end of the post, I worked through it.
That was one of the notes you were supposed to write down and just throw away later, you know, just to get it off, whatever case may be. But a lot of times we do make posts in anger. Yeah, you know, it come out and we will work through the anger during the post, but we don't go into the post with negative energy expecting a positive from it.
That makes sense.
So when you go into something negative, you're expecting what you're putting in it out of it. And you're going to get what you're putting in it out of it. There's no way, and I use this analogy a lot. I use it all the time. I don't like bananas. I can't stand them. Don't come around me with them. But I cannot plant a banana tree and expect strawberries to come up. Mm-hmm. If I plant a banana tree by planting seeds that I don't like, I have to expect those seeds to come back. Because what I plant will harvest. In the Bible, we call it sowing and reaping. Universally, we call it the law of attraction. The energy. You are energy. You are an energy being, and the energy you put out is going to be the energy you're going to get back. The problem lies is that we get upset because we put the energy out and think the universe, or we think the Most High, we think God's supposed to be magically delicious and change it before it comes back to us. That's not how it works. What you put out is what you're going to get back in return. And you can't, it's hard for you to just mid-energy go from negative to positive. Like, it's hard to say I made a post start negative, but I ended positive. That's hard. You just can't mid-post change energies like that. If that was the case, why you couldn't start off positive and remain positive? You understand what I'm saying? It's easier for positive to go negative than it is for negative to turn back positive.
I was thinking of it in the way, like when we put a story together, when we're going to do a presentation, or say we go on stage and we're going to give our story, whatever that is. And we go down into the valley of sorts, you know, to the ugly place, and we show how we came up out of it. So that's how my mind was interpreting it.
Oh, I understand. I understood. You didn't do nothing wrong. And the reason you didn't do nothing wrong because you didn't have the awareness at the time. So you did nothing wrong. You didn't make a mistake. You did exactly what your awareness allowed you to do. And that's all we ever do. All we ever do is exactly what our awareness allows us to do. Old saying goes, when you know better, you do better.
Right.
Same thing.
In line with the topic tonight, then I guess I can now segue this into the topic and say, asking this question, because I was listening to some of the Plant Better University.
Awesome.
I started listening to some of those today.
Yes.
There's a big section on arrogance, and I see you're doing arrogance again. So, you talked on it. Tempest talked on it. A lot of you were training on arrogance. It was a whole session on it.
Oh yeah, man. You got to kill your arrogance. Arrogance sucks. Arrogance is for losers. Only poor people are arrogant, and arrogant people are going to always be poor.
So I get off the hook by saying, okay, I don't know everything. So I ask my questions tonight. So I'm in a good place, right?
That's the best way to kill your arrogance. Ask questions.
Thank and you.
You're very welcome. I'm glad I was able to help you. No doubt.
I've been holding on to that for a few days, and I needed to let go of that. So
I'm glad you was able to get it off.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Go ahead, Miss Chantelle. Miss Chantelle with the curls.
Okay. Oh, that's a good call. Here's something that I would like to know or get some insight on. And I've heard, so we're talking about walking out of poverty, right? And I'm definitely have testimony of that. And as I'm continuing on, there are times where those people come back into my life, you know, want to know what's going on, want to know my insight, my advice, how'd you do this, how'd you do that, whatever. And I remember Antonio saying a while back, I think when he first started those Sunday calls, and it was basically he talked about not running from the negative people. Because when you're running from it, like saying, I don't want this, then you're attracting it more into your life. Yes. And I had kind of held on to that for a while, and I understood it. But like where I'm at now, I'm different from then. Yeah. So.
She said, yeah.
So now it's, how do you know when like you're being tested? Like basically like, are these people in my life being sent into my life for me to find who I'm becoming in those situations and really stand up as my worth and be who I am, like say what's on my mind. Like if I don't want to hear something, you know, I don't want to hear that right now. Is that time for me to step more into me, or is it like, let this go?
Okay. That's awesome. All the time, every time, is always the time to step into you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. You're always going to deal with tests and trials and tribulations. And many times when you grow beyond people do have ulterior motives for coming back to ask you why this, why that. But you always remember that you control you. You control your garden. You control what you receive and what you answer to. Just because, Antonio says this all the time, just because I invite you to the argument doesn't mean you have to accept the invitation. Just because, here's what I'm saying. Let's say, for example, person from the past call you, and in the midst of you, they call you saying, give them some insight. And you're giving the insight and things of that nature. Then for some reason, it begins to seem like you debating yourself or having to defend yourself behind what you're saying. Yeah, they're trying to pull you back in. And you have the right to separate yourself from it. I told one of my mentees not long ago, because he was like, man, this person is, you know, she talked like this and talk. I say, bro, you have the right and the permission to walk away and not listen to that. Because if you listen to it, you're allowing that seed to the potential to be able to be sown into your garden. Mm. Almost like the text in the Bible says in Matthew. They planted wheat, but overnight somebody came by and threw some weeds in there, the tares. And the next day it grew together. And they asked the master, what should we do? Should we pull up the tares? He said, no, let it grow together. He said, because when it's growing, I'm going to throw it in the air and it's going to separate itself. Because the wind will blow the tares away and the wheat will fall back into the basket. What's good, you shall keep. What you don't need, it shall blow away. So you have to always be cognizant when people come back to be aware of their ulterior motives. Another text says, try the spirit by the spirit. You test them by who they are. Don't forget, if you doing all the growing and they ain't done no growing, they still the same person. They haven't changed. Like, you've grown, they haven't. You have to remember that. You have grown, they haven't. They're still the same person. They still have the same motive, the same intent. They haven't grown. So what makes you think their language is going to change? Granted, you may want to receive them differently, but they're still the same. Just because you are different doesn't mean the people around you are not are too. Because you can change and the people around you remain the same. Make sense?
Absolutely.
Did that help you out?
That was wonderful.
Good. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, counselor.
How are you?
Come on with this value. Come on, add it.
I'm sorry. I'm sitting here and I'm like, this is so good. This is so good. But this particular thing that Chantel has asked about was one of my pivotal moments in my matriculation through awareness. And the part about your question, Chantel, where you said, how do you know whether they're a keeper or if you just need to kind of distance yourself? What I found was, as I rose in awareness, people noticed. They noticed that you're different. They notice how you respond. They notice how you carry yourself. They notice what's coming to you. And the people that are still around me today are the people that didn't get in the way of that. When they get in the way, they get removed. And it's not, I didn't have to remove anybody. They just fell away. And so you just have to, what helped me was to stay focused on what I was doing. Because anybody that came into my life or anybody that came back, if they couldn't get in stride with what I had going on, I just keep walking. And if you can't keep up with my pace, then you're going to fall away. And now, if I slow down, then that's on me. You got to keep your cadence, keep your pace, keep focused, and don't slow down for them when they come back. Either they're going to keep up with you, they're going to watch you, they're going to emulate you, they're going to do what you're doing, and they're going to walk with you, or they're going to fall away. It's effortless. The effort goes into the journey. Spectators get no effort from the person that's, you know, the football players aren't looking in the stands watching what we're doing, cheering them on. We're watching them play. And so you just let them watch you work. And that's it. Either they're going to keep up or they're going to fall away. It's really, pay attention to it, because it's something that I was just like, whoa, wow. I'm not having to go through the drudgery of drama with you. You just kind of gone. Okay, you come and you go. Like, hey, what's up, shorty? Oh, you still doing that? Bye, bro. See you later. You know, that was it.
Thank you, counselor. Really appreciate it. Anybody else? Anybody else?
Hey, this is Robin.
What's up, Robin? What's going on? Yes, I can hear you.
I'm doing well.
Nice.
So yeah, I'm listening to the comments that were, you know, being said, and definitely the questions that I asked, because my question might be a little bit similar and the same of finding that attracting the same types of people. Like, I can get, like, I'm not gonna say I get rid of them, but they do, like, they get rid of themselves, but then I still find myself attracting the same types of people. So it's like I think to myself, like, is there something that I may be doing that I attract them? I don't know if that's a full question, but that's a big question. I don't know what it is that I might be doing. I haven't been made aware of it yet, but I've been trying to pay very closely attention to myself. And when certain types of people come to me that are, you know, even negative, or people who I might find that have a lot of addictive behaviors, I tend to attract them, or even sometimes draining people. people who drain me for all my energy. I tend to just naturally attract them. And I don't want to, like, be mean and just be like, ugh, to them. But I also know that I need to protect my own self. So do you have any suggestions on, you can go into me and make a left. Make it right. I'm sorry. I'm talking to my mom. So do you have any suggestions on how to ward off or certain things that I may need to do or look for to kind of not attract those type of people?
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay, you asked for it. Stop doing what you're doing. The only way you're going to attract different people is by doing something different. When you're doing the same thing, you're going to continue to attract the same people. I can't expect to attract happiness and I continue to surround myself around hatred. You don't, this is going to sound crazy, but it's me talking. You ever heard the phrase, you are what you eat?
Yes.
You are who you're around. I didn't begin to attract the people in which I am attracted now, like you guys, until I start putting myself in the atmosphere to be around people like you guys. I had to separate myself away from that atmosphere and put myself in another atmosphere that was equivalent and worthy of who I actually am without having to put on a mask and be who they want me to be. So you have to put yourself around who you want to attract. You can't say, I want to be around these people, but only when it's benefiting me. If it's not benefiting me, I don't want to be around these people. I want to be around the people who I'm comfortable with. And that's all you attract. You're going to attract what you're comfortable with. Why? Because our brain does not want to push past the level of comfort. That's why successful is so painful. Because that's why we're working out. No pain, no gain. You have to push your brain past that point of uncomfort to reach the level of comfort or to create a new level of comfort. And that's what you have to do. You have to create your new level of comfort. You have to get out that comfort zone, create you a new comfort zone. Because as long as you continue to be around those people, even though you get this section of bad away from you, you just open up the door for another section. Mm-hmm. There's a text in the Bible. I can't actually pull the text, but I can tell you the story. It says, it's talking about the spirit and when God cast the spirit out of a person. When the spirit was cast out, the evil spirit, that spirit left to go get some more of his friends. And if that spirit would have came back and that vessel still would have been empty, it would have been 7 times worse than it was before. So you have to get rid of the negativity by replacing it with something positive, with something concerning your dreams, with something concerning your goals, with people who are talking the same language you talk, with people who are vibrating the same way you vibrate. Yeah, they may be on a Zoom call 7 days a week. That may be your crowd. You need to be on that Zoom call 7 days a week. You have to surround yourself with the people. And you say, but you're looking at, I want to be comfortable and be around the people that I'm looking at. And I want to bring them to my level because I'm rising up. And you can't do that. All you're doing is dragging people. Okay. And when you continue to drag people, you're slowing yourself down from reaching your goal, from reaching your destiny. Make sense?
Yeah, I kind of see myself. That's why I was like, I don't recognize, I might not be recognizing what it is that I'm doing. So, okay, so I definitely see myself in that area.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, okay. All right, okay. I got some homework.
Well, yes, well, thank you for your question. I thank you for tuning in. I appreciate that. Anybody else? Anybody else? Okay, good. Listen, we got about 5 minutes left to my integrity class, and I can't miss it for nothing. But anyway, listen, we're going to go ahead and get ready to close out the first Zoom episode. Everybody clap their hands. Let's celebrate for Zoom episode of Walk It Out Wednesdays. Listen, you can have anything in this world you want to have. You can be anything in this world you want to be. It all begins within. I am the double certified people's pastor, Reverend Bryant A. Johnson. That's my time. God bless you and good night. Walk out of your poverty into your prosperity.